on your part.
All right. Here we go. Welcome to the On Track and Field podcast. I'm your host, JT Ayers, and I got a special treat for you. But before I get to that special treat, let's talk about On Track and Field, which in itself is a special treat because literally last week I had the CEO drive a U-Haul down. It was a huge U-Haul because we just bought a pole vault landing system through them. You can get things like that as well. On Track and Field is a family-run company. They're a national brand, and they have everything you need to give your athletes or yourself the best opportunity to succeed. In fact, my wife, she's a marathon runner. She bought Topo shoes from On Track and Field, and then she went out and ran. She's going to hate that I'm saying this because she's very humble, unlike me. But she went and got number one in her age group, qualified for Boston, did all those things because On Track and Field gave her the opportunity to do that with great shoes, the perfect shoes with the perfect millimeter drop and all that nonsense. And ontrackandfield.com, do yourself a favor and go there. With me today, I've been actually going back and forth with her. She is so busy. I'm so glad that she gave me an opportunity to talk with her because this is going to be informative, useful, practical. This is something you're going to give your athletes. And if not, just give them. If you are an athlete yourself, you should be paying attention to what she has to say. It's Wendy Earlbeck. She, on her bio, it says this. I just went there and asked her if I was able to read it. She said, go ahead. Daughter of Christ, Master of Science, registered dietitian nutritionist, certified sports nutritionist. She has a huge following on social media. She's here to talk to us about all things nutrition so your athlete can have the right fuel in them to do a good job. So, Wendy, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, JT. I'm excited to be here.
I want to talk about so much because I want to take this information you have and just give it to all my athletes, make it mandatory they listen to this podcast. But first, explain why you do what you do. You and I were talking off podcast that you've been doing this for over a decade. Why is this the thing you do?
That is a loaded question. Well, first and foremost, I do what I do because of Jesus Christ. He convicted me at a super young age before I even had a relationship with him. I had a passion for health, fitness, nutrition. I love helping people. I love sharing, you know, little tips. As a high school athlete, as a collegiate athlete, I made so many mistakes, and not only in my nutrition, my rest, my recovery. So it's been my life mission as a registered dietitian to help those young and collegiate athletes not make the mistakes that I made, but then also empower and educate coaches, educators, family. You know, how can we make it simple so that everybody can be healthy for longer, you know, longevity? I think that the lifestyle component is also critical. Person first, athlete second. And we're all athletes, JT. And you know this. I mean, workday warriors, we all need to eat food, right? We all need to be healthy. So anything we talk about today, I'm excited because it's applicable to every single person with a beating pulse, right?
Right. And on social media, I mean, you are not shy about sharing your faith. You are not shy about telling people exactly what the research says. You're very gracious. Social media is a gross platform and it's not very helpful to everybody, but you seem to push through that. And now your social media it's geared towards so much. However, we're going to talk about track and field because this is a sport where people are going to be competing for about, man, it could be 4 hours at a time. It could be an all day event. It could be multiple days, especially these Olympians are going out, and I'm always asking Olympians, what do they eat? And they all have different answers. Let's talk about just competition. Let me hone in on just competition. What kind of things should we be thinking about fueling our body with before a competition that would be probably in the afternoon?
Absolutely, JT. So always, it depends. Anyone who doesn't say that initially, context is key. I know we don't have time to go into all the details of specific events, but a simple strategy that is applicable to any athlete, doesn't matter the time of the competition, is my fueling strategy 4-2-1, and that's chew, nibble, sip. So 4 hours out, an athlete should always consume protein, carbohydrate, fruit, vegetable. Really, the emphasis is on no new foods. You really want to focus on grilled, never fried, drizzle, don't drench. And when I say that, you know, ranch dressing a little bit can be fine. But if an athlete has a competition or an event and they're loading up a salad, which you shouldn't eat a salad, that's always a common thing. But it should be a solid chicken, beef, steak, fish, something lean. And then obviously a quality carbohydrate, sweet potato, rice, something that you know works well with you and that you're not trying a new food. So when I'm giving out these recommendations, I always want people to try them out on a practice day so that they can figure out their fueling strategy and they know that that works well for them. So really the emphasis, JT, is protein, carbohydrate, fluid, obviously minerals plays a critical role. And I think for a lot of athletes, they're realizing that the cramping is not what they're getting maybe, is not just because of sodium. It's also magnesium, lack of calories, lack of carbohydrates. So I have a blog out there you can read. You know, we work with a lot of track and field programs and they're always so worried about carbs, but I think overall calories matters too. So if you're using 4 hours out, right, full meal, according to the performance plate, and I share that out, 2 hours out is more of a nibble. So it's a protein and carb. So you could do a little bit of Greek yogurt, berries, which are fantastic, right? Quick sugar, things that digest, replenishing that glycogen store, right? We want to walk into that competition, that event with a full tank of fuel. You know, no one enters the Indy 500 on a half a tank of gas. So we need to be fueling 4, 2, and then 1 hour out. Then it's just topping it off. Maybe some sports drink. You could do applesauce, something that's quick digesting and it's carbohydrates, right? Quick fuel for muscle and brain, because fatigue hits and you lose speed, power, right? When our blood sugar dips. So we want that to be as full as possible walking into that event. And those liquids are the best way to do that. So social media demonizes sports drinks or applesauce or honey when those are the best options for track and field athletes to have between events or right before, because it's quick sugar, right, for muscle and brain, and that's what they need.
Okay, so if you're listening to this podcast, just hit the back button a couple times and take some notes because there's so much there. I'm definitely going to. I was trying to take notes while you were talking. What about during competition? Like, they can't eat a big meal. I mean, they're going to have to run and jump or vault and compete, rest, compete, rest, compete. I mean, basically it's a long cycle. It could be a 4 hour all day event. Are we just eating honey sticks? Are we eating, I mean, what kind of things should we be consuming? Is it just sugar? Is it just Gatorade? What recommendations do you have during competition?
Absolutely. So Gatorade is a lower tier option, to be honest. We don't recommend that. We would go with a rice cake and honey. It's portable, right? It's convenient. It's quick sugar. So we do rice cake and honey, jelly and bread, right? We're talking high school athletes, college athletes, limited budget. Rice cake, jelly, perfect mix of carbs, because for every hour of activity, we need 50 to 75 grams of carbs. So bagel, honey, applesauce packet, you can bring honey stinger, you can bring any of those gels, liquids if you want, but a lot of times those upset the gut and they're expensive. And we're all about being practical and saving money. So we would recommend obviously bringing fruit. You know, that's a no-brainer because grapes are very high water, right? Hydrating, also sugar. So we have athletes, right, that are, we have a couple of partnerships with programs in Nebraska, and we're always telling their athletes for their all-day events, right, you need to bring pretzels, honey, rice cakes, bagels, bread, bring these items. So carbs are important, but if you have about 60 to 90 minutes in between, you want to make sure you have a little bit of protein, right? Because we still need to prevent that muscle breakdown. We're always about injury risk reduction. We can't prevent injuries, but we can also mitigate the risk. So we recommend also packing lean protein. You could bring, you know, string cheese, hard-boiled eggs. Greek yogurt is perfect. It's versatile. You can also add oats to that Greek yogurt. So you can still accommodate the carbohydrate needs for any athlete. So if you're, you know, for perspective, you have an all-day event, essentially, you're going to need to plan at least 300 grams of carbs. Okay. So that's very easy to achieve with that grocery list I listed off. And I share that on my website. It's on social media. Pack those things in advance so that, say, you have a delay, something happens, right? We always plan. Heck, that is preparation is key, controlling our controllables.
Wow. I love that. Now, I am a head coach, but I coach sprints, jumps, relays, hurdles. Rest and recovery is paramount with these type of athletes, because we're asking so much output from them in a given competition, even training. What about after a competition? What should they be looking to do as they're trying to get into this rest and recovery phase after competition?
Absolutely, JT. So you immediately want to add in carbohydrates and protein. So I have lots of little, you know, acronyms and rules to remember, but 35, 50, 30 rule. So that within 30 minutes, you're consuming a minimum of 50 to 75 grams of carbs with a minimum of 30 grams of protein. 30, 50, 30, right? And you, like I said, you can go on my social media. I share this stuff out all the time about refuel, rehydrate. So chocolate milk is, you know, the optimal beverage. There's over 20 plus research studies supporting the benefits, 3-to-1 carbohydrate to protein ratio. It also has electrolytes in it. You can bring Greek yogurt. You can do Core Power. You can do a turkey bagel. There's so many ways to bring protein and carbohydrates for after. And then obviously, avoiding caffeine later in the day. I know a lot of our college track and field athletes will do, you know, their caffeine right before their event. They want the quick burst. I always look at the pros and cons of anything. If you're someone that struggles to sleep well, is the juice really worth the squeeze? You want to have that caffeine before your event. And although caffeine is an ergogenic aid, if you're having that at 3, 4, 5 in the afternoon, and then you're trying to go to sleep, that is, you know, we need to look at the big picture here. That is going to impair your sleep because caffeine has a half-life and it's still in your system. So if you're going then back the next day to compete, you're impairing your recovery process. So we really work on getting our athletes to utilize that protein and carb beforehand, because if you need a pre-workout for energy or that burst, you really are missing the boat, right? It's like rearranging furniture on a sinking ship. You need to focus on your sleep, your hydration, the post-workout meal, that recovery aspect. If you improve all of those modalities, you really won't need the pre-workout, especially at the youth level.
Wow, that's fantastic. So maybe staying away from energy drinks and sodas. Absolutely. And things like that. So let's go to that. Like when you're thinking about the entire day or even a training cycle, 6, 5, whatever months it is, what are your thoughts on soda, energy drinks, or even like what we should do with water?
That's a great question. I love answering this because I'm so against energy drinks. I drink coffee. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I love coffee, but I also know that athletes are being misled by social media. You know, it's the cool thing to have a Celsius or an energy drink. But the reality is, JT, is that these energy drinks are loaded with caffeine. They have additional additives. They have things that disrupt the gut microbiome. They impair recovery. They decrease appetite. There's so many negatives. When I look at the pros and cons and I present them to athletes or anyone that wants to use them, I say, I can't tell you what to do, but I'm going to show you and you can make the best informed decision based on your goals. If you're telling me you want to get bigger, faster, stronger, but you're skipping breakfast, you're not eating a substantial lunch, you're not having a protein carb before your workout, and you're using this energy drink, and then they immediately connect the dots. They're like, yeah, you're right. I can't gain muscle. I can't get stronger if I'm not eating enough protein, enough calories. And when we look at the sodas and even, you know, sports drinks, there's a time and place for it. When you're just sitting around playing video games or hanging out with your friends, that's not the time and place for soda or sports drinks. Obviously, all foods fit. We need to have moderation. But if you really want to be the best athlete and you say, I want to compete at the highest level, it's a no-brainer to eliminate those items and focus on drinking enough water, right? 80 to 90 ounces is a minimum. We want our athletes drinking 100 to 120 ounces and then adding in those additional minerals, which are critical as well. So I think just keeping it simple, you know, if you're not drinking at least 75 ounces a day, set alarms in your phone, drink 20 ounces every 2 hours, wake up and drink water, put a hydro flask, put a fancy Stanley, though I'm from Minnesota. The only Stanley cup is the one that you compete for on the ice. Jokes aside, whatever it is, we've got to create that routine. And athletes, right, they need systems, they need routines. So it's fluid, it's your recovery nutrition, it's getting enough sleep. If you've got to set an alarm to put your phone away before bed, you know, all these things we talk about, those things are so important. And I would rather people focus on those than an energy drink or supplements. I mean, if you want to talk about creatine, creatine's great and every athlete should use it, every person. But if somebody isn't eating enough protein, not eating enough carbs, they're not packing things for tournaments or for events, that's the best place to start. Correct those things. And then the creatine is the icing on the cake. Without the cake, you really don't need the icing, right?
All right, I want to slow down a little bit because you and I are getting very excited. Well, you and I are getting very excited about things that we're very passionate about. I'm a coach, and you are obviously extremely qualified to talk about all these sports nutritionist-eyed things. But is this really a big deal? I mean, I know this is your whole profession, But is it a really a big deal? Should an athlete listen to this podcast and be like, yeah, well, whatever. Like, I'm an 18-year-old kid. My body's processing things way better than a 41-year-old coach airs. Like, is this really a big deal? What does the science say?
Absolutely. So number one, if you want to get bigger, faster, stronger, but you're not making choices that support that. I mean, again, I stop and I was asked during presentations and they think about it for a minute. They're like, yeah, but it doesn't matter because, you know, I'm all conference or I broke my PR and I didn't eat breakfast. Okay, well, talent can only get you so far. At the next level, everybody's great. What are you willing to do to outcompete your competition? And then I pull up the research that supports, you know, carbohydrates and protein around training sessions, how it increases lean mass, testosterone levels increase, recovery, time to fatigue. All of these modalities that are measured in the data are presented. And I'll tell you what, the reason why I love working with kids, JT, is because they're actually more willing to change than adults. Adults are so, myself included, we can be very stubborn and unwilling to change despite seeing the data. And we're scared to try something new because we're afraid that, oh no, I won't, you know, I'll look silly or I should know that. Kids are willing to learn. They're willing to try things. And that's why I really love working with the population. So the science is there and it's great. But to further answer your question, being practical. So that's why working on what can I do with my situation? What can I control? Can I drink more water? Can I eat more protein? Can I eliminate some of the soda? Can I swap out the candy bars for some Greek yogurt and blueberries? I mean, those are the fundamental basic things that when executed at a high level, make an elite athlete, right? And we can agree on that. So that is what I would recommend. And anyone that listens to this, you need to audit your schedule. You need to make a decision about what you're doing and if it's working and what gets measured is well managed. So if you don't know if you're getting stronger or if your recovery is better, you maybe need to do some blood work or maybe you need to track your sleep or maybe you need to get a DEXA scan, body composition. We are big on the data and data for an athlete is key. So if we're working with track and field or baseball, doesn't matter. We can look at the velocity. We can look at the power. We can see that and say, hey, you've been eating more protein. You've been getting more sleep. You've been eating more calories, more micronutrients. You've been less sick. You've gained muscle. There's been a number of female athletes that we've worked with, which is really cool, that have actually gotten faster eating more carbohydrates because we've been able to share, hey, you're running this speed. Let's just try this for 2 weeks. We're going to add in another 100 grams of carbs. We're going to do 45 more minutes of sleep and they feel better. They get stronger. They get faster. And it's almost immediate. And then they're bought in. And then from there, it's just, they want to keep at it.
Okay. So earlier you mentioned the word cramping and I literally wrote it down because I didn't even think to ask you about this, but I mean, certain athletes cramp, you know, like they finish the workout and they're cramping in their abs or they're cramping in their calves or wherever. Why is that happening to youth athletes? I know it's a loaded question. What have you seen? Is that just a sodium issue? Is that, give us advice? Because I would love to give sound advice to my athletes.
Yes, JT, so I'm glad you asked. Please share the three ways to avoid cramping on competition day. It's on my blog. And what I talk about in that blog is outlining the data and the science that is not just sodium. It's magnesium. It's potassium, right? It's phosphorus. It's these critical minerals, right? And we need to drink enough water. A lot of athletes think they are drinking a lot of water, but they're really not. So until they start tracking, that's one way is to increase your fluid intake. But also if you are drinking too much water, then you could be flushing out those minerals. So maybe you need to do an electrolyte packet. Maybe you're just a heavier sweater. You're more prone to sweating, depending upon where you're oriented. If people are in the South, right, during the summer months, heat exhaustion is a very real thing. People have muscle cramps at a much higher level. So what we would recommend is you've got to add in more sodium, more magnesium, more potassium, more of those critical minerals, but also drinking enough water, eating enough calories, and eating enough carbohydrates. And a lot of our football programs too in Texas that we work with, they had less muscle cramping this past summer because we had that education on picking out the best electrolyte. So I do this because I have another graphic that I want. It's in that blog that you can look at because some electrolyte packets, JT, and anyone that listens to this, you need to know what's in it because some may only contain 200 milligrams of sodium. Some may have 500, some may have 1,000. So for every pound lost, During training or competition, you need to replace with 16 to 24 ounces of fluid. So weigh in before and after training, before and after competition, because that's a key indicator of your sweat rate as well. Without doing any specific urine gravity testing, you know, good old fashioned, am I sweaty on my shirt? Like, is it crusty? Is it on my face? If you sweat at a heavier rate than others, then you need to add in more sodium, magnesium, potassium. And that really is an individual N=1 type thing. So I recommend that, but those are practical ways to help reduce muscle cramping. But then there's also, of course, the pickle juice. You'll see that a number of times. They might bring that out in, you know, soccer games or football games if someone's cramping. And that acetic acid, you know, allegedly, and I talk about this in my blog, the research is, I would say it's dicey. It's not definitive that that actually helps, but it could also be placebo. I look at, again, cost benefit analysis. It tastes terrible. And if you have someone that's cramping and they still have a second half to play and you just fed them pickle juice, I don't think that their stomach is going to feel very good. So I wouldn't give that to my athletes, but I'm also not on the sidelines, you know. That's just a practical thing that if we plan ahead and we do the things I talked about, the water, the calories, the carbs, sufficient minerals, you really shouldn't need to bring in that pickle juice.
Oh man, that's disgusting.
I'm gonna throw up thinking about it.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh man. Last question, because as you're talking, we're going to get comments. This is not enough. I need more. So if you want Winnie to come back and talk more, leave us a comment, let me know, and we'll for sure find a way to carve out some time in her very busy schedule. Carbo load, the night before, and everyone's having pasta parties. Is that a myth? Is that a real thing?
It's not a myth. It's people do it. It always depends. I would say for the marathon runner, I mean, obviously your wife runs marathons. Anyone that runs marathons, we know we need to eat enough carbs. I am all about, JT, the days leading up to the event and competition. You should not be overloading carbohydrates the night before. A lot of athletes feel lethargic. I've had some that they feel fine. I would say it depends. You got to figure this out on a practice day, right? And experiment what works well for you. But again, I go back to the rule of thumb that looking at how many hours you're expending at that event day, you know, again, 50 to 75 grams of carbohydrates for every hour. It's unnecessary to carb load. I would just recommend having a substantial, I'm not going to say substantial, have half your plate carbohydrates, maybe some pasta. You could do rice with a lean protein. You do not want all these heavy sauces. I talk about to avoid in one of my fueling blogs, you know, avoid heavy sauces, fried foods, high fat foods. So if you do pasta, if you do noodles, you want to make sure that it's a light marinara sauce. Drizzle, don't drench, remember that. And then have an evening snack of, you know, maybe some protein oatmeal, or you could do Greek yogurt parfait with some oats. You could do some grapes. You want some carbs in the evening, especially if you do start. A lot of our athletes start their events early, so you don't really get a lot of time, right, to do the 4-2-1. So you've got to have enough carbs, but the carb load is unnecessary. We recommend 3 to 4 days out, you're having half your plate be carbs so that you're coming into that event with a full fuel tank, right? Glycogen can only hold between 300 and 500 grams of carbohydrates. So you really just don't want to feel lethargic. So that's why I discourage against carb loading. But again, do what works well for you. If that looks different, that's up to you.
Wow. That is so much good stuff. And I promised you I wouldn't keep you too long. And we also try to keep the podcast, you know, not too long so people can digest all of it at once. But man, we're going to have you back because this is such good stuff. Winnie, where can we find out more? You mentioned your blog. Please let the audience know about your social media blog, because there's so much out there. And I literally was recommended your stuff way early on. And I've been writing and I'm like, why don't I just have her on the podcast? But please just let us know right now where we can follow more.
Yes. And first off, JT, thank you so much for having me. It's been a blessing speaking with you. Your followers, those that listen, they're blessed to have you because you're a wealth of knowledge, you're an inspiration, and you're a Christian. So I'm grateful to be here. You can find me on social media, Nutrition with Wendy, on Twitter, Wendy Earlbeck, and then my website is nutritionwithwendy.com. And we have a great newsletter. It's free. You can subscribe. We send out graphics, tips about sleep, recovery. All of that is on the website. Same thing with the blogs. And just reach out. We'd love to help you in any capacity.
Okay, athlete, coach, why are you not subscribing? This is the thing you need to be the most practical, informative, and useful as a coach and an athlete that you need. So just go there and get that. And I want to make sure I just I just want to say thank you. Thank you for this. I'm going to share it with all my athletes. We appreciate you, Wendy, and all that you're doing. Continue to do the good fight for those, because I mean, if Noah Lyles has a full-time chef making sure that he has these things, then why would we not pay attention to these things as well? This podcast is brought to you by ontrackandfield.com as well as relaybatons.com. They both power this, and they're both owned by the same guy, and that is Steve Rangold. Listen to him in just a second, and he'll let you know how to get in contact with them on social media. But you know what? Do me a favor. Rate us. Share this podcast. Leave a comment. Let us know how we're doing. It really helps more than you know. That the mission of this podcast is just to push out the sport, make it more accessible and knowledgeable for everyone that's listening. So with that said, Steve, in your beautiful, sexy voice, please take it away.
Thanks for listening to the On Track and Field podcast with this week's guest, Wendy Earlbeck. The On Track and Field podcast is powered by RelayBatons.com. Custom engraved meat and competition legal relay batons, water bottles and tumblers. Great for team branding, fundraisers, meet awards and coaches gifts. And by OnTrackAndField.com, your one-stop source for all things cross-country and track and field related. Competition gear, spikes, training equipment, and shoes. OnTrackAndField.com has everything you need, including our new pull vault and high jump landing systems. Designed by jumpers for jumpers. Check them out online or give us a call for a free quote. And make sure to check out our new website, OnTrackRunning.com, your new source for competition and training shoes. Featuring Saucony, Brooks, On Running, New Balance, Asics, and Hoka shoes and spikes. OnTrackRunning.com. And make sure to follow us on our socials at OnTrack, the letter N, Field, at On Track and Field on Twitter and the Gram.